Welcome to the Nutramedical Report for hour number three, and we have a hot news item here, an analysis from two different sides. We have Dr. Krishaw with some amazing, shocking, absolutely horrendous new information about the Arepanrix. That's A-R-E-P-A-N-R-I-X. Those documents will be posted up during this hour. The vaccine from GlaxoSmithKline, including the ASO3 adjuvanted vaccines. And we have new breaking information we're going to have discussed by Alexander S. Jones and Tim Alexander, our geopolitical news analyst that's always here par excellence, delivering the overall big picture of the forest and the trees. You want to hear first from Dr. Krishaw, neurobiologist, full professor, the University of British Columbia Department of Ophthalmology, who did a bioequivalency study on toxicity to nerves, genetics, and sterility in mice, the mouse model, against the aluminum hydroxide adjuvant, as well as squalene, and just found these documents. This is quite shocking. Dr. Krishaw, give us the details, and of course, people can read the documents themselves if they're skeptical. Sure. If they have a doctor who hasn't read this, they need to read and weep is literally what they should be doing, because this is really, really bad news.
Well, they should be putting their critical science hats on. So when you take a document like this, and I give it the same sort of scrutiny I would give to a master's thesis or a PhD thesis,
right,
because it's at the very least that important, probably
exactly,
vastly more important, right?
Right.
Because we were talking about injecting the population with this stuff, especially kids. So now we go to page, when you pull up the product information leaflet, you go to page 5, and they're talking about dosage administration, and it's based on safety. And they look at the different age groups. So you see right off the bat, they've got adults aged 18 to 60, and they say there's some clinical data, and I believe the clinical data is based on a Belgian population of 130 patients. That, if that's their patient population, that's problematic from the point of view of what's called power analysis. That may not be a large enough population to derive any statistics whatsoever.
Plus, they have no long-term effects. They don't know what to
Well, they certainly don't have any long-term effects. Then you go down and you get onto page 6, and it says elderly, in other words, over 60 years old, and it says no clinical data. And then you go down to children and adolescents aged 10 to 17, no clinical data. Children aged 3 to 9, no clinical, limited clinical data. Children aged 6 to 35 months, no clinical data. Children aged less than 6 months. Vaccination is not currently recommended in this age group. In other words, most of the age groups they would vaccinate have no clinical data.
Plus, they don't mention even pregnant women either, do they?
Pardon me?
No data whatsoever on pregnant women, which, by the way, in Canada...
Yes, there's data on pregnant women.
Which the health minister, Glockhook, is now recommending, as well as here in America with the HEG secretary, they want to vaccinate are pregnant women and children.
Then it gets interesting, because you now go on to adverse reactions. So when you look at adverse reactions on page 8...
Page number
now you're starting to talk about things that could have neurological components. Look at something like 14% of those who get the vaccine experience headache, okay, or other things that could be the sign of a neurological issue. That's a lot of people.
Well, 14% indicates that there's acute inflammation of the neuroglia.
That's what it means.
What it means is that it means that there's immediate neurological effects of a breakdown in the blood-brain barrier, immediate activation of the glutamate pathways, immediate neurotoxic effects that are causing a acute headache. Acute headache means you've got a cytokine activation in the brain and central nervous system.
So then I'll draw the attention of your listeners to page 17, where they're talking about the animal studies, under the paragraph entitled Information from Non-Clinical Studies. Now, this is the phase 1 animal stuff. So they say in this protection experiment, the ferrets, and there were ferrets, they had 6 ferrets per group. Now, again, this comes down to your whole power analysis thing. Basically, power analysis is the means by which you determine if the population you're looking at is large enough that you can draw statistical significance from it. Okay. So this is almost certainly too small, and I would almost guarantee that that's the case. It's too small to do power analysis on, and therefore the stats that they get are going to be meaningless. So they look at ferrets. They don't tell us what age the ferrets are. They don't tell us what gender the ferrets are. So right away, that's a problem, okay? Not to mention the size of the population. Then they have 3 treatment groups. Okay. They have a treatment group that gets the complete vaccine with the adjuvant, which is the squalene. They have a treatment group that gets only the squalene, and they have a treatment group that gets only the vaccine without the squalene. They don't have a control group. Then, considering that this is supposed to be a safety study, and the bulk of the concerns in at least my community are about the impacts on neurological impacts. they do no behavioral analysis. They do no histological analysis. So they actually don't know what the short-term or long-term consequences at a neurological level are for these animals. They simply haven't done it. That's disturbing. Then you go down a little further, and you discover on page 18, they talk about preclinical safety data. And they talk about two studies they did with pregnant rats. And in one case, they got something that looked like neurological disturbances. And I'm quoting from the page here. In the first study, there was an increased incidence of fetal malformations with markedly medially thickened kinked ribs and bent scapula, as well as an increased incidence of dilated ureter and delayed neurobehavioral maturation. That sounds awfully similar to stuff that some of us have been following for some time, delayed neurobehavioral maturation. Right. Then they did another study. They didn't see this, so they apparently just averaged the two studies together and therefore thought it was comfortable to ignore the negative data they got in the first one.
Oh,
so that's the extent of the animal behavioral and histological data they have. I would say they have nothing. This would not pass a master's level exam.
Yeah.
At my university.
Yeah, so in other words, to summarize, we have toxic vaccines that have identical components to the spay-neuter vaccine licensed by a veterinarian in Georgia, USA, to the European animal vaccine for spay-neuting your animals, that are neurotoxic, genotoxic, and will result in sterility. And the research even posted 3 weeks ago in the Globe and Mail in Canada, referencing research articles that are published, that the conventional trivalent vaccine with lower dosages of these components suppresses the immune system and increases the risk by doubling it of getting infection with H1N1. And now we have these toxic adjuvants now that will be even spread further because they won't have enough vaccine protein or stimulant for their vaccines. So they'll further dilute it with perhaps even higher concentrations in future vaccines. But this one here is 10.9, 40 times higher concentration of squalene than the anthrax vaccine that caused Gulf War syndrome. And 100% of the people that had Gulf War syndrome had anthrax, had antibodies against squalene. 100%. So it wasn't the only component. They also had aluminum in those vaccines. This is going to be very, very deadly. It's going to cause an explosion. We had 4 days of solid discussion by top experts in the world on the toxic effects of these things that will affect neurodegeneration at our meeting in Phoenix, Arizona. I can tell you, talking to the top doctors on the planet, we're going to have an explosion of neurodegenerative diseases, Guillain-Barré paralysis, genetic problems with abnormal organ development if this affects fetuses. So we'll have schizophrenia and autism, and we will see a tremendous increase in sterility and inability to become pregnant in any way except advanced in vitro fertilization and perhaps literally in the laboratory pregnancies. This is just unbelievable that it's probably going to not provide even any protection, but actually increase sterility. Abnormal development and neurological diseases and autoimmune diseases will massively explode. Unbelievable.
Well, the neurological disease aspect, I think, is my greatest concern because that's the research I've done.
Oh, yeah, and it proves it.
Certainly based on that is a significant concern.
Yeah, and of course, both of these components, aluminum, and by the way, when they wash the tubes, they do have mercury in them as well. And that's why the state of Washington passed a law to try to lift their own limits for mercury and in the vaccines so the pregnant women and children could receive these vaccines because one dose exceeds already the limits they've already set in the state of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
That's unbelievable. Would like to hear from Alexander S. Jones. Alexander, when you hear about this plague that's occurring and the danger of this plague from Ukraine now moving to Belarus and elsewhere in Europe, we're going to follow this daily, but you've heard this, you're a scientist as well. What do you see as the danger of what's going on now with now the very grave possibility that we'll start seeing more vaccine under literally mandatory vaccinations as the vaccine gets spread, more adjuvants get added? I want to hear your answer when we come back from the break. And we have Tim Alexander with more questions and analysis of the news items dealing with this as well. The emerging second wave is on. This is the Ukrainian swine flu. The second wave is now emerging. We'll be back in a moment. Chris Shaw, Tim Alexander, and Alexander S. Jones, NIH whistleblower.
The GCN Radio Network. Providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
It is pretty amazing.
listen to Dr. Chris Shaw tell us that statement you mentioned just before the break. And this is too much. Go ahead. Tell us, Dr. Shaw. You mentioned that those ferrets that did not receive the adjuvanted vaccine, the non-adjuvanted vaccine, 100% died. But they don't report how many died with the, quote, adjuvanted vaccine.
No.
No. No report. No. So it doesn't even tell you, like, oh, okay, maybe 100% of them died. We know
and
that
we don't have anything in the way of time frame either. So this is not science. I don't know what it is, but it's not
nonsense. Non-science. Like, so in other words, they're delivering, and I got this report this morning that there are 600 doses heading to Nunavut, which is the Northwest Territories north for pregnant women for the Native peoples in Canada, of this vaccine and the non-adjuvanted vaccine in their own studies and their own product insert that's being delivered there. Will give no benefit.
Will not work.
Will not work for pregnant women, so that if they get
exposed. Well, we don't know about pregnant women, but it will not work based on
period,
their animal study.
It won't work for anyone. So anyone exposed based on the animal study will receive no protection, and then they don't even report how many died that did get the adjuvant vaccine, and we know the adjuvants are sterilizing and neurotoxic and will suppress your immune system.
Mm-hmm. Nor do we know, based on the data and the criteria for the study, whether or not the vaccine is, in fact, causing the illness.
Well, we know that it's going to cause immune suppression. There's no doubt
about
that.
But we don't know I mean, I'm talking about the absolute safety of the vaccine.
Oh, absolutely.
We don't know that the vaccine isn't giving the disease to people based on this study.
Well, of course. I mean, they're not going to report that, are they? Because if you had these two groups and they reported the number of dead from those that received the adjuvanted vaccine, do you know if it's the virus that they were exposed to, or is it the vaccine? Now, here's the important point. If we know that ferrets, okay, were exposed to H1N1, we know it's the version that's out there now in North America is relatively mild, except for some young people now are getting higher viral loads, so they get cytokine storms. We're not talking about the Ukrainian flu. So if they expose them to the California 7 strain of the virus, I'm scratching my head wondering why 100% of the ferrets died. How come 100% of ferrets died to a virus that's relatively mild and the ferret is the best animal model for humans? Dr. Shaw, any answers there? I mean, this doesn't make sense to me.
Well, no, it doesn't make sense to me either, but the problem with a report that's this skimpy is unless you can see the primary data, it's almost impossible to interpret. So what you're reading in this document is essentially the good parts version. And if this is the best they have, then
that's the
then
good
it
part?
Really means they're either covering a lot of stuff up or they're really massaging their data just to get this much positive spin out of it, and it's not that positive.
Yeah.
So you have to read between the lines to see what's going on, and I think a lot of health ministers and others don't know how to do that, but it's pretty shocking that they don't.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
But what concerns me is the first thing when you're looking at using a virus on any, whether it's an animal or a human being, is are you going to actually give the full-blown illness to the person, or is it going
Absolutely.
To work as a virus to inoculate the person against the disease? And based on that study, you really can't say whether
you can draw no conclusion from
that. When they say that the virus has been killed, it has a big little pile of questions and stars around it. Is it really totally killed, or is it one that is, quote,
well, I mean, it goes to the whole question of is the virus live or not, period.
Right, that's my point. The point is it truly killed, or even with split virion, is it able to produce reactions or even recombine with other viruses and create a new subversion? So this is very, very disturbing. This is very disturbing.
Listen, let's face it. This is not something I made up here in my office. It's not something you made up. This is their own document, as far as we can tell.
Well, that document is going to be posted, so people can actually look at it. They'll be able to go to the more information at the bottom of today's news. I'll have it posted separately as well. I'm going to post the whole damn thing. And Alexander Jones, what's going on in the Ukraine right now?
Well, it's hard to say. First, I want to thank Dr. Shaw. You've got some great information. I'm really impressed with with all of it. As for Ukraine, basically, we're looking at what may be a new virus. I think that these people may have possibly released a more virulent version of the flu. Even according to Dr. Henry Nyman, from the preliminary data, it looks like it's 10 times as lethal as the existing strain. You and I on the phone earlier tried to estimate the case fatality rate, and we got a number that starts on the lower bound at about 0.2 or 0.3%, which would be 2 to 3 times as lethal as seasonal flu. In the past 48 hours, according to the Ukrainian government, there have been about 250,000 additional infections, which brings us to a total of about half a million, or 455,000 people infected in Ukraine. There's about 25,000 people that have been hospitalized, and we have a confirmed 93 have died. That total has been going up about 10 per day. I'd like to read from a Bloomberg article because it illustrates it. Ukraine's been battling an outbreak of respiratory disease that sickened 478,000 people and killed 93. It's struggling with a lack of protective equipment and so on. Ukrainian President Viktor Yushchenko said in an urgent address to the nation today that the country's flu outbreak is, quote, unique because three flu strains are spreading at the same time. He says that increases the risk of mutations of the viruses into a new strain, he said, citing unnamed domestic and foreign experts.
Now, but stop for a second there. It's not a mutation. We've got to get the terms right. It is a recombination. In the terms of Dr. Henry Nyman and others, it's a swapping, like synapses, of just tiny little sections of the DNA between these viruses or RNA. So the virus will acquire just one or two amino acid changes is all it needs to be much, much more lethal. So please continue.
Right. And I just want to read another quote here. The country's Council for National Security and Defense is taking over management of the epidemic now. So we see a militarization of this. Yushchenko
the whole country shut down the schools for three weeks.
Shut down all of the schools in Ukraine for 3 weeks. That includes colleges, universities, as well as elementary schools. There are sections of the country that have been quarantined. Non-essential travel is basically prohibited in those areas. And there have been a run on all of the antiviral drugs in the pharmacies. Ukraine sells almost all antivirals over the counter, but they've all been sold out and purchased. We're also seeing what appears to be a lot of cases of viral pneumonia, which is unusual for the flu. It's unusual.
Yeah, but this virus we know is rod-shaped, and it grows avidly in the lungs. In fact, according to the pathology reports I read, is this H1N1 flu, when it does cause death, the virus is 10 to 100 million times higher viral concentration and deep in the lungs than any other flu virus ever recorded.
Which we don't absolutely know that this is H1N1.
Well, I don't think it is. I think it's a new strain, a new H1N1.
It's a new H1N1, almost certainly. And the thing is, it may not just be H1N1. Here's something people need to realize. You're right. It may not be H1N1. It could be H3N2 or some other virus that's acquired the genes from the current H1N1, but it carries these other genetics that makes it more lethal. Or it could even be a recombination with H5N1. That's a possibility because, remember now, every continent has had H5N1, and Ukraine is a massive country where there's tremendous amounts of interactions between birds and wild birds and so on. So it could have acquired these genes, and when we get the sequences later this week or early next, we're going to get a better idea. Did it acquire the genes from these others? Stay there, gentlemen. Dr. Chris Shaw. Tim Alexander, Alexander S. Jones. We do have a statement also from James in Oklahoma about a new virus coming from South America. Wants to know if it's a judgment from God. Well, let me tell you, people haven't been waking up, so I guess that's what happens when they don't pay attention to what's going on.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the NutraMedical Report. I want to hear a quick statement from Tim Alexander. You mentioned a report yesterday that's just shocking.
The vaccine manufacturers have required all European nations that are buying the vaccines. To sign a contract, and there's a very long list of negative things that they cannot comment on about the vaccine, and it basically includes everything. They literally, governments in Europe are by contract prohibited from releasing negative information about the vaccine.
Wow. I mean, that's so disgusting.
Yeah.
It's
so against the public interest.
Right.
The other thing I wanted to say, I have this article on this site from the Caucasus area. It's in English. It's about 3 days old. It talks about 1,500 people already being dead in the Ukraine, and I do not trust official sources on this.
No.
I mean, we've seen this with the Mexican swine flu, and what other is happening here? It's called Ukrainian swine flu. The numbers of 500,000 people now being sick, doubling in 2 days. This is classic advanced biowar, genetically engineered.
And of course, you reported that they were spraying as well, didn't you, Tim?
Absolutely. A number of witnesses, eyewitnesses in Ukrainian cities have seen light planes flying low over Ukrainian cities, aerosoling something out the back. The Ukrainian government has made an official statement denying anything to do with that or having any knowledge of it.
That's really
and
scary.
I suspect it's being purposely spread via, that's classic war. By low planes aerosoling it over the population.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Dr. Shaw, sticking strictly to the science, and we're going to talk about this with aluminum hydroxide and squalene, how certain is it that they will then, with the waves of this coming in, with this now more lethal wave, almost certainly arriving in North America, probably now as we speak or over the weekend, we're going to start seeing hot spots, and the government's primed with the passage a week and a half ago of the State of National Emergency with the PD-51, with all the other acts that were passed during the Bush administration, right back to 9/11. We're primed for medical martial law, forced mandatory vaccine at gunpoint, civil detention camps all set up under these various acts, including six major camps.
The mark of the beast.
We're all set, basically, for this system where you won't be allowed to travel unless you've been vaccinated, and the vaccines are going to cause, at the very least, neurological damage, immune suppression, and increase the risk that you're going to get the infection rather than decrease. Just sticking to the neurological, how likely is it that they're going to create more vaccine with even more adjuvants in it?
Well, I mean, it's hard to tell, but again, what is the fraction of the population that's going to have a consequence some years down the road, if not immediately? And I think you have to worry about that. When you look at the Gulf War syndrome, the Gulf War illness, more properly called, that is linked to the adjuvanted vaccines that were used against the AVA, you have a real problem. And if you end up with whatever the percentage is, let's say 1% of your population comes down with neurological disease 10 years from now or 20 years from now, you have a huge increase in neurological disease. Let's say that the number is bigger. Let's say it's 10%. This would overwhelm the medical system quite easily, and this is not something you can maintain. A medical system in the face of overwhelming epidemic of neurological disease.
Now, here's the thing. The ASO3 has three components that I think are particularly nasty that are even worse than the anthrax. The first thing, it has the squalene at 40 times the concentration in this vaccine. The second is it has glycoprotein 120, which is from porcine or pig source, glycoprotein to further amplify the reaction. And the third, it has tween 80 that's used as a special detergent that can be used with the split virion form of the virus so that it can induce an even stronger viral reaction. So all of these things taken together are very, very concerning. I mean, we're talking about something that I believe is going to be not a tiny fraction, and we're going to have a significant number of almost immediate reactions, just like the vaccination program that went on in Sweden last week, where all of a sudden they literally jammed up their emergency departments with people and had a number of deaths almost immediately. My guess, it was this version of the virus vaccine, and of course the number of people that are going to get problems that may not directly connect to the vaccine within days, weeks, or months, or just coming down with the virus itself because their immune systems are suppressed. They're going to be a sitting duck when the actual virus comes by and they have no real good immune response against it.
That's definitely true. And again, the lack of attention to the fact that this can have long-range consequences, frankly, they know from epidemiology they can skate away from those consequences. If something takes 10 years to develop, it's going to be very difficult to prove that it was caused by the vaccine.
Yeah, yeah.
And the drug companies are fully aware of that, as are governments, at least the governments that have science advisors who know anything about this. So they're basically betting. They're betting that it's not going to happen. And based on past experience, it's a bad bet.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. So what's going on here now is an explosion of disease in Ukraine, and I think they're trying to actually spin it. I actually just retranslated that article, Alexander S. Jones, and it says, in Ukraine, 67 people have died. We have a different strain of swine influenza than in Mexico and U.S. European. And they're trying to say, listen to this in the article, they're trying to put people's, rest their rumors. Ukraine is recording cases of swine flu, rest rumors there. In other words, in the face of them literally declaring martial law across the country and closing all the schools, why are any planes arriving from Ukraine that are not quarantined? Why are any citizens are crossing borders into Europe not quarantined?
Right, and also the World Health Organization said that there was no reason for travel restrictions. But the thing is that if there's a new strain of the virus, why are the planes flying out?
That's the only thing that they can do. If I was the WHO director, this is a criminal activity. Immediately, all of the borders should be closed, and no one should get out of the country unless they are quarantined for a period of 7 days under observation, whether they travel by car or plane. They should not get to an airport, any international airport in the world, today. And I'm going to make this statement. This is an example of why the WHO wants the plague to spread. They want to bring the world economy to a shutdown. And I've said this for 10 years. There is nothing even more effective than a nuclear war that will shut down the world economy more serious than a plague of this magnitude. If it spreads in the next 3 to 6 months around the world, this will shut down the world tighter than a drum. And the number, and we did simulations, by the way, with FEMA, hazmat teams, and Operation Top Off in Dark Winter, and I was one of the point men under Reserve Admiral Hughes, so this is firsthand evidence, people. This is not secondhand. It's not open to your damned opinion, okay? And if you sense my rage at anyone trying to disagree with me, just shut the hell up and listen. If this thing gets out of control, more people will die of violence, starvation, and total social chaos than of the virus. That's their words. That's the director of these operations that did it with our head of the VA hospital, infectious disease, with the hazmat teams, the FBI, and the CDC. That's their words. So you need to know that if they bring total social chaos by releasing this plague and not stopping it, by stopping international travel from Ukraine and Belarus, you know that it's going to arrive in other centers in Europe. You know it's going to arrive in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and America. You know it's going to arrive in Central and South America. And it's also going to jam up the hospitals. And the first thing that you're going to see is when the first line defenders, the police, the firefighters, the military, and the medical, when they start dying, when they start not being protected by the flu or their so-called protection measures, just like the exposure to the myxovirus that happened a few years ago in Ontario, Canada, right? They are going to be running for the hills. And what we'll see in all these hospitals is you're going to see them shut down when they're intensive care units, when they don't have respirators, when they have no respiratory beds, when they have not enough nurses. You're going to see absolute chaos.
Even on
in some ways,
it
may be good because the hospitals will be a giant incubator.
Pardon me?
The hospitals will be a giant incubator.
Oh, of course they will. And, of course, the incubator not only for chaos, but you're going to start seeing, and that's why I believe there must have been advance notice to the Abominator that's why, out of the face of no new data, a week and a half ago, Obama declares a state of national emergency when there was no indication there should be one. Other than the fact that the WHO allow travel from Mexico and South America and there was no travel restrictions right now?
You already proved themselves to be complicit in the spread of Mexican swine flu, and they're
right.
Doing the exact same thing with this. And the window of opportunity to stop this is rapidly.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Pretty evident that we are facing the lethal wave is now out. It's coming.
Yeah, if these numbers are accurate, then what we're dealing with is probably a new strain of the flu.
I think that what they should have done is today, the U.S. government, today, this is my statement, today, the U.S. government should close off all international flights.
Well, they should have done that a week ago.
No, but they need to do it today. And anybody arriving from Europe should immediately be quarantined for a period of 7 days to be certain that they aren't carrying the flu. If they want to have them arrive, they have to go through a quarantine facility for 7 days.
That would be one way to stop it, but it almost seems like the World Health Organization wants this to spread, assuming we
they
do.
They do. You can see it because it's all part of the agenda, and it's parallel with the economic chaos. And they, in literally less than a month, they want the Copenhagen Treaty signed with the Green Police started. And they want to, they're calling, I just got reports from Daniel Estulin that this week in Scotland, they're calling for the death of the dollar. Not that it's going to happen at once. It might take 5 years. But you keep on saying you want the death of the dollar, you're going to start chaos. If you have the, quote, people fearful of the dollar dissolving, and you have the economic chaos of a plague, you're going to have the world economy shut down.
Yeah, you know, we're already seeing gold up at 1091, 1092. I mean, if that's any indication of what's going on in Ukraine, gold may be responding to a suspicion of new virus, you know. And if that,
oh, it will. It'll go over 1,200 at the rate it's going, 1091, yeah. So
yeah, the stock markets won't fare well either. Neither will the bond markets. They're going to
stock market last week is, and take my word for this, you can take it to the bank, the stock market last week hit as high as it's going to go. And you're going to see in the next 2 years the price of gold and the stock market cross.
Yeah, this whole thing in Ukraine is an absolute disaster. But if it does spread to over here in the United States, we're going to start seeing a media hysteria, you know, with things like if it gets into, say, L.A., they're going to say things like 10 deaths overnight in L.A., you know, 50 deaths overnight in New York. Hospitals have no ventilators and so on. That's where this is going if this is actually a new, more virulent strain that causes viral pneumonia.
It will do that, too.
Yeah.
I don't think they're exaggerating. I think they're just going to report the truth.
Oh, no, they won't be exaggerating either. That's the thing, is that all we need is this, you know, 0.3%, 0.7% case fatality rate, and it's going to cause chaos.
Yeah.
So we'll just have to see what the sequences are. I'm a little bit annoyed that they haven't released them.
Dr. Shaw, and of course, you're reporting for Vancouver, Canada. What are the Canadian authorities talking about in this regard about the vaccine? Are they taking your science seriously in Canada?
No, we haven't heard any commentary from
them. So, in other words, you're not hearing from Minister Aglakuk, the
No, the we haven't been in touch.
You haven't had any reports from the senators or the members of parliament or any kind of, even of their staff, to even say, well, look, we've got a top scientist in Canada that did some of the top-level research in the world on the dangers of these vaccines. We now have a report that's published in the Globe and Mail, which is a very well-respected magazine, just a month ago, indicating that the medical studies said that it doubles the risk of flu. So now they're pushing not only the trivalent vaccine, but these vaccines. And Canada, of course, is now heading into the dead of winter with vitamin D levels dropping, which reduces the ability to fight viral infections. And the new emergent strain is going to arrive because there's a lot of Ukrainians that live in Canada, especially in the West. I mean, I practiced for 9 years in Alberta, 2 years in residency and 7 years in practice, and it's like Ukrainian West, okay? It's like stock full of Ukrainians in Saskatchewan and Alberta. If anybody's traveling back and forth with their relatives to Alberta, you're going to see an explosion of it in the Western Canada right away.
I would suspect you're right. I guess the thing that disturbs me most about the whole thing is you have medical professionals who are apparently not reading the primary literature that's put out by the company and have no apparent way to judge how good that literature is and how professionally done these studies are. And that's disturbing because, I mean, we all know science literacy is dropping in the West, but the fact is that how can you look at this study, again, put out by the company, and not realize that this has huge problems that do not demonstrate safety, quite the opposite.
Well, the problem
I
see
is
how
any minister could possibly do this.
Well, part of the problem is that conditions to maintain your licensure in practice are not based on the ability to be science literate. And only maybe 1-2% of studies are even worth reading, let alone taking seriously. And you know, as a scientist, that most doctors are knuckleheads in terms of being understanding advanced biochemistry, pathology, toxicology, or even statistical study design, et cetera, to make sure that they're even scientifically valid. So their marketing programs, basically what the drug companies do, and they don't necessarily put out a study to be hard science that could withstand a rigor of a panel or a board for a master's or a PhD thesis. They simply are a marketing ploy to tell the doctor, this is the best thing we can do, and you better market it to your patients or you'll get in trouble with the provincial licensing authority or the state licensing authority because you don't walk lockstep toward vaccinating all of your patients.
Well, I don't know if the doctors are knuckleheads, but I'll tell you this, that when I run this document past some of my students and my undergrads and graduate students and my technicians, they look at the numbers and they say the numbers aren't sufficient to make a conclusion.
Yeah, but you're training people that have got common sense and they're scientists, right? And I can tell you, working both British Columbia, Alberta, and Nova Scotia, and three states, Georgia, Illinois, and Colorado, and now living in California and fly for my license here, doctors are knuckleheads. They don't read the product inserts. They don't go to the PDR. They don't go to the other things. And I have doctors all the time now that are panicking because they realize maybe there's doubts. And when I present the evidence like I did to a number of doctors this weekend that are top doctors at the Academy of Environmental Medicine, because they do have a clue, they actually listen. And when they listen, they all 100% freaked out and realized, like, oh, my gosh, these toxic adjuvants are going to kill people, destroy their neurological systems, and cause immediate delayed problems. They're going to cause immune suppression, and they're not going to provide protection against the virus.
It was kind of funny when my grad student, Mike Petrick, first proposed his thesis topic, which is on the aluminum adjuvant and on squalene, to his research committee. The three members of the committee that were all MDs basically were skeptical. They thought, well, at the very worst, you're going to find nothing. And then when he finally presented his thesis, the number of open mouths in the room was kind of interesting to watch, because a lot of people, those three people, were quite shocked at what he had found. And of course they said, well, it's only animals, you know, who knows, and maybe it doesn't apply to people. But then again, the reason you do animal research is because you're trying to draw those links to the human population.
It was a bioequivalent dosage. I mean, it's the same thing.
Exactly.
I have medical and dental knuckleheads that still say they think mercury is perfectly fine, when we proved, I did the original research 29 to 26 years ago with Dr. Murray Vimy at the University of Calgary on mercury ethyl salicylate, and how it's neurotoxic. And they still want to argue when you can say it blocks into the beta subunit of neurotubulin and exactly what it does. I mean, they still want to argue. I say there's no room for argument anymore. It's over, just like your research. And what's your grad student's name again?
Mike Petrick.
Mike Petrick, yeah. So when you do this, what you need to do is to say this study demands that the federal government do further studies on adjuvanted vaccines. Is to me, all adjuvanted, and I actually am presenting this to the Academy of Environmental Medicine, all adjuvanted vaccines, just like GMO foods, needs a moratorium. And if they can't prove that a non-adjuvanted vaccine has any benefit, then that means the vaccine should not be given. So you have to do efficacy and safety studies, but there should be a moratorium on all adjuvanted vaccines.
I absolutely agree, and it's again a lack of science education. It's a lack of overall knowledge about how these things work and how they progressed over time and how they first came into the system, and that really needs more exposure by the general public, so they start demanding more accountability by the medical profession and by their politicians, frankly.
Yeah, exactly. That's amazing. That's amazing. So, yeah, crazy, crazy stuff today. This is so hard to believe. The combination of the insanity of these vaccines are actually the same as the European ones. I just cannot believe it. And my daughter, she brings to me this morning before she goes to school a report from yesterday. They're now talking about all the things for hygiene they're going to do, when they're talking now about you making sure your kid goes to your doctor and gets the vaccines for the trivalent seasonal and the H1N1 vaccine. And, of course, you know the vaccines are going to include live virus and the metamune, or the adjuvanted vaccines that are also going to be toxic. And, of course, the metamune is adjuvanted too, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And you're right about what's happening in the schools. I mean, there's quite the panic going on in the schools, and the administrators and the public health officials are basically trying to force the vaccine on every kid, and suggesting that parents who don't vaccinate their children are contributing to the disease spread. And
they said that in the letter, by the way.
Parents, of course.
They said that in the letter. Amazing.
It is
remarkably evil, unbelievably evil. Hard to believe, but it's true. And we're going to be back tomorrow. Closing comments, Alexander S. Jones.
Just watch for that World Health Organization press release. That's the bullet that's coming out in the next few days.
Really?
Yep.
Dr. Chris Shaw, I need to get you back on to discuss this further. Let's book another show, perhaps another week or so.
Happy to, Bill.
Absolutely amazing. And, boy, this is a bomb that we dropped today with this article from the adjuvanted vaccines. And I believe all vaccines should have an immediate AAEM, American Academy of Environmental Medicine, moratorium on all adjuvanted vaccines, and studies for efficacy and safety, they should all be banned.